Because this is Michael Russo's show, there is always news, but it feels like this week there is a lot of news to get to. We want to talk about Kaprasov. We want to talk about the bubble, Bettman, Evason, and just exactly how this is going to work out with the NHL. I know I've started thinking that the NHL might have the best chance of all the pro sports leagues of actually pulling off their season, which was not what I thought I'd be thinking a couple months ago. But let's ask the expert. This is the Russo Hockey Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. If you like the network, subscribe to the whole network and have all the shows rolling through, including a lot of new shows, Meat Gistics, which is about grilling, Gopher Hole, all the outdoor content, all the normal sports shows. If you'd like to advertise with us, you can email me, JSOUHAN at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. And thank you to our sponsors, Profile by Sanford, Bosch Law, and Tony Hoagland, your State Farm Agent Champlin. Let's start with the big topic, which has been the big topic for so long. It sounds like you have a little news on Kaprasov.
Well, it's the same thing as I've been reporting for weeks, that they're not going to let him play, but they will let him sign. And so now, as I reported the other day, sources tell me that the Wild are willing to burn the first year of the deal and sign him immediately just to get him in the fold. They're hoping that they could at least bring him here for phase three. Most likely he wouldn't go to Edmonton. He would have to quarantine. And as days go by, by the time they'll get him here, this team's going to be getting on a plane to go to Edmonton. So, if he's going to get used to his teammates and stuff, it might just be for a couple days. But, that's the hope, that they could at least bring him here and get something out of it. Because essentially, if not, all you're doing is giving him a free $5 million, probably a year earlier than you would have. But at least it guarantees that he would get here. As I've also reported, the Wild would be willing to loan him to a European team, but that European team probably can't be in Russia because those teams don't want to allow a player to start the season and leave in the middle to come to training camp. And then it's got to be a European team that he's willing to go to and that's going to start on time. Right now it was just announced today that the German league, the DEL, is actually going to push back the start of their season till at least November. So, right now we don't know where he could play next year or if he'll just be willing to just kind of sit and wait for the NHL season to start, whether it's December 1st or January 1st, whatever.
Wow. Interesting. Are you surprised at all that the Wild decided that it would be worth it to sign him?
Part of me is like, I think from a financial standpoint, it makes absolute sense to wait and try to sign him to a 2-year deal starting in 2021, 21, 22, if he was willing to wait and then loan him at least to get 2 years out of him. But I think the Wild just want to put this behind him, get him signed, sure that he's coming in 2021. And so, I get it. It's a huge financial decision from the Minnesota Wild, but they've waited so long for this guy, they're willing to do it. He's that special of a player. They feel badly that he's in a position now where he's wanted to come all along, and then a global pandemic puts things in a complete state of flux. So I think that Bill Guerin and Craig Leopold have had a frank conversation about this, and I think Craig was all for it, and Billy's now all for it, and now it's just a matter of whether or not Kirill's all for it. I do think he is now. I'd be shocked if this 53-hour window that could start Monday and end Wednesday doesn't end almost quickly, with him signing a deal. I could see it even happening as soon as Monday.
Interesting. The other big topic I wanted to get to, we will get to a bunch of Twitter questions today. We appreciate you sending those in as always. I was on Channel 11 and I was being asked to kind of rate all the league's chances of coming back and actually fulfilling their seasons, everything else. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought the NHL might end up having the best formula, in part because they're going to Canada. They're going to a country that has handled the virus very well, where it's under control. NHL players tend to be very disciplined within their seasons. It sounds like the NHL is putting up all kinds of protocols to keep players safe and in a bubble. I'm more optimistic now about the NHL being able to pull off their playoffs than any other sport. And I don't think that's the way I was thinking, just a few months ago. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Edmonton, did announce the other day a little bit of a mini outbreak. And I say mini outbreak because comparatively, they were making a big deal up in Edmonton, and comparatively in the United States, it was nothing. But they definitely have had a little mini outbreak in Edmonton with COVID. But again, the whole, and I've said this like a broken record, the whole point of this is that it doesn't matter what's going on down the block as long as everybody in the bubble is safe and healthy and nobody else is getting in the bubble that shouldn't be. And so the way that they're going to be able to pull this off is over the next really 15 days, 16 days before they go to Edmonton or Toronto. It's incumbent on these players not to go rogue, not to go out to the bars when they're back here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, to go to the rink, go home, go to the rink, go home. Don't go to the stores. Try to be smart. Because the only way that this could be pulled off is that if players don't show up in these bubbles sick, and the only way it could be pulled off is if all of a sudden there's not an outbreak like there was recently in St. Louis and Tampa, and those organizations are suddenly forced to shut down their facilities during this phase three training camp that starts on Monday. So I do agree with you that I think that by going to Canada, the NHL put themselves in a position to pull this off. That's why they're not in Vegas. That's why they're not in Chicago or LA. Why those were the final finalists that were eventually put to pasture. You know, again, this league had every intent to go to Vegas. And up until the Monday that they made this decision, they were going to Vegas. And then the outbreak that's happened in Vegas made the league realize that the only way that it could, at best, pull this off is to go north of the border.
I want to ask you about the CBA. And again, we will get to Twitter questions and talk about just the way these playoffs are going to fare. But by the way, before I even get to anything else, are you going to travel? Are you going to be in Edmonton?
You know, the Athletic has actually offered me that ability to go to Edmonton, but I would have to commit to staying the whole way and stay until at least October 3rd. And with the 14-day quarantine, I'd have to leave on July 17th. So July 17th to October 3rd. That quarantine is extremely strict. You can't leave your hotel room. You can't go to the gym. You can't go for a walk. You have to have only food that's delivered to outside your room. So right now I think that we're going to just try to have our Canadian writers cover this whole thing and I'll stay back at home. It's just, I would 100% cover it, if I had the run of the arena, I had the run of the hotels, if I was going to be say, hey, Mike, do you mind doing a story on the Colorado Avalanche? And I could go and interview Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog and Joe Sakic in person. But because if they tell me, hey, can you do a story on the Colorado Avalanche, that I'd then have to go back to my hotel room and call them or do it by Zoom, it just makes no sense. You could do that from anywhere. So, it's disappointing because I know that if I make the final decision and not go, I know that first day that I'm watching the Minnesota Wild on TV and writing about it from here, I'm going to be kicking myself that they gave me this opportunity to go there for 80 some odd days. But I think I'm most likely going to say that I'll cover from home. And then the hope is that eventually they relax the quarantine enough to the point that maybe the conference finals or the finals, I could say to the Athletic, you know what, I'm ready to go over there. I don't have to quarantine now. Let me cover this for the final month. But right now, I'm leaning toward not going, which is really, as you can tell by my voice, I'm pretty glum about it because you know how much I want to be in there, that arena.
But absolutely.
Again, with no access, just to go there for 80 days, it just makes very little sense.
Right. And I have a thought on that. We do want to first thank Profile by Sanford. Michael, it sounds like it is still working wonders for you.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Even today I get on the scale and it's been slow rolling the last month, half a pound, never up. But today suddenly I get on and down 2.5 pounds. And so, it's working well. And, it's funny. I was just thinking this morning when I woke up how easy this is to follow Profile by Sanford. And my weight's fluctuated forever. And it's just amazing, Jim, like when you eat crappy food, how you start to crave that all the time. But then when you start to eat healthy, your mind just readjusts naturally and you start to crave nutritious food and not the crap. It's just so weird. But yet I know myself and I know that tomorrow if I start eating crap again, I'll just go back that way. So that's why I like Profile by Sanford. It keeps you in this routine. You follow their diet. You follow their activities. You have personal coaching weekly. And really it's just been a success so far. I still have a long way to go. I think most people that lose 30 pounds and, would think, oh, they're just going to be, svelte and perfect shape. I can see it in myself. I feel better. My clothes fit better. You're shopping in your closet again, but I know that I have a long way to go. And the good news also is if I don't go to Edmonton, I'll be able to stay in this routine with my personal coach, Danette, and go over my challenges each week and know that I'm getting that constant support. So, if you are, and I think I said this last week too, Jim, but, you know, it's been really satisfying seeing how many people listen to this podcast that has actually started Profiled by Sanford. So, with 6 Twin Cities locations and other locations around the state, I highly recommend it. For more information, go to profileplan.com and tell them that I sent you. Again, that's profileplan.com.
Good stuff. I went to my first Twins practice / inter-squad scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. And I talked with Roy Smalley about it on our baseball show on the network. And, you know, you're talking about going to a place and spending time there and having no access. It's bizarre. It's bizarre to be in a professional environment and see professional athletes competing and have absolutely no crowd reaction. It's really disconcerting. It's also really weird as, you know, I'm at heart a baseball writer, and you, of course, are a hockey writer. It's really strange to go to a venue and not have any conversations, not have any one-on-one, not have any personal, not have any lighthearted, off-to-the-side conversations.
Yeah.
And frankly, kind of depressing.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's why I just think I would go nuts in Edmonton for that long because, again, it's like, you know, if you're assigned, hey, do this story on the Arizona Coyotes or the Dallas Stars or the Minnesota Wild even, you know, it's like I was talking to Garen on the phone the other day and it dawned on me that anytime I want to do a Wild story, you got to call Garen up now. You can't talk to him face to face. And it would be the same if I wanted to talk to Rick Bonus of the Stars or Jared Bednar or Connor McDavid or anybody. And so I just think it'd be really, really tough. To do it well, to make it also cost effective, like, you know, what's right. The point type thing, to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to spend 80 days of food, 80 days in a hotel, flying there back and forth, to not have that access. And so I think I could do it as well from here and maybe even better because I'll be able to do really cool story ideas that you know, I've written down here the last couple weeks. So that's the hope, at least. And so as I almost feel like I'm talking myself out of it. So at the Twins, can you even have camaraderie? Like, are you allowed to, you know, sit next to Lavelle and talk, or do you have to pretty much even social distance from your colleagues?
Yeah, like 8 feet apart and wearing a mask. So last night was me and Phil Miller, and I love Phil. You know, he's a great guy, and we chatted a little bit, but you're not going to have, you know, it's not like we're used to, which is where you lean over and, you know, say, hey, da 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 da. Hey, check this out, or hey, you know, make a joke, whatever. It's not like that. It's almost like talking to somebody on the phone. These are over there, and you're not going to scream. So it is really weird.
Yeah, I bet. And you know, I will say that's the one thing that I probably would like is to be able to go to Edmonton and have that camaraderie with my colleagues. Stay at the hotel that we were going to stay at and hang out and things like that. But you also got to then remember that you're there to work and not get sick. And and so you got to be smart. And so I'll be interested. Like Monday, we're allowed to go to Tria for the first time to watch the beginning of training camp and things like that. And I'll be interested to see how it is for us. So, you know, we'll do a temperature check. We got to wear a mask, but you know, again, any member of the 52 person traveling party, we are not allowed to be in anywhere close to. So even Aaron Sickman, the Wild PR guy, is somebody that we can't, talk to face to face for the next 13, 14 days. Everything's going to be via text, like, hey, can I get this guy by the phone? Can I do this? Can I do that? And so it's going to be just strange.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you about CBA negotiations. Is it just a formality at this point that they will get approved?
I think so. We'll know by the end of the day today. So people listening to this podcast will know by the time it gets out. Final votes can be cast at 5 p.m. And then I expect a pretty relatively quick announcement from the NHL Players Association. I think it passes because to me, if I was it's one all-encompassing vote. If I'm 7 teams that aren't playing times 23 players getting to vote, you're probably voting yes, right? Because you've got no skin in the game in terms of return to play. You just want the CBA to go through. And so I think that's one bone of contention with a lot of members. But I think that it's going to absolutely pass. And then tomorrow morning, which is Saturday morning, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, the Wild will put out their training camp schedule and roster. I reported who's in camp right now, but eventually they're going to have to get down to 31 players. And so that was in The Athletic the other day. We'll see. I expect a good amount of news next week too. Again with Kaprizov and some other things going on.
And should Bettman get some credit for the relative labor piece? And of course, I'm presuming the CBA is going to go through. Should Bettman get some credit for the labor piece?
I don't know. I mean, why does it take a global pandemic for the first time for the NHL not to have a lockout? Right. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. The other interesting thing here is that the NHL for years and years and years cost certainty, need to be a 50-50 split. And then the second there's a global pandemic, they're willing to throw that all out the window, keep a flat cap next year, no matter what the revenues are, lower the escrow to 20%, no matter what the revenues are. So I think that what it just means is, and I'm a Bettman fan, but I think this means is that both sides had no choice, right? You can't have this and then all of a sudden have a potential lockout in a year and a half, right? Especially with Seattle coming in and things like that. So this was the only way that the players could assure their best chance to have, their escrow cut to 20%, which is still a major amount of money going into this account. That's going to just be sitting there to potentially be pay the owners back, depending on what the revenues are next year.
Right. Okay, let's get some Twitter questions, including a good one about Dean Evason. We do want to thank Bosch Law, our newest sponsor, Bosch Law Firm. Check them out at BOSCH-law.com. Workers' compensation and personal injury law, and welcome to the program.
Hi, everyone. Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you, from border to border and all over the great state of Minnesota, to ensure they're treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. Wage loss, medical bills, job insecurity, and the stress of trying to navigate a complicated work comp system on your own. You need someone in your corner who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. To make sure you're being paid all available work comp benefits for your injury, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm anytime. The call is always free and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300 or visit us at workcompexperts.com.
All right, first Twitter question of the day. Dylan Loops, I hope I'm getting your name right. Who do you think will wear the C on their jersey after Koivu retires, and will the Wild retire Koivu's number?
I think they should, and I think they will eventually on Mikko. The question is, when do you do it? Because next year, I really still think Mikko is going to play in the Finnish Elite League. So he's not going to be quote-unquote retired. And if that's the case, you can't bring him back to North America until he's done to, be here for the ceremony. Now, if next year starts in January and it ends in August, you could conceivably, by the time the Finnish Elite League's done, bring him back, in the second half of the 2021 season. And in terms of captaincy, I think it'll be Spurgeon versus Foligno head-to-head. I'll be interested to see how it's done. I think it says something that Bill Guerin's first act as the Wild GM was to give a 7-year deal to Jared Spurgeon. But it also says something that Bill Guerin, when he needed that Born to be Wild video to be done, he called Marcus Foligno, right? And but Spurgeon and Stahl and those guys were a huge part of that video as well. So, I think it's going to be Foligno versus Spurgeon, and I can see a case for both. One, you have the richest actual annual value of a contract in Jared Spurgeon in Minnesota Wild history. Somebody that is going to be here probably for the next 7 years. And then you have Marcus Foligno. If you're able to give him an extension in the offseason or even as soon as next week, they're allowed to, there's a chance that, you say, hey, this is the guy that is sort of the heartbeat in that locker room. Let's make him the guy. So, vocal versus non-vocal, I'd be fine with either one of them, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. From Joe Rogers, kind of following up on what you just said, players who would have been eligible for an extension July 1st will be eligible to re-sign starting next week. Do you know if Guerin is going to wait till after the play-in playoffs, or do you think he'll get started right away since the offseason will be truncated this year?
Well, remember, it'll be truncated depending on how far the Wild go, right?
Right.
You know, it could be done by August 9th. But I think he waits. I think there's so many pressing things. He's got to see exactly how the cap fits in. He's got to, you know, there's a lot of math. They're going to have to re-sign a lot of guys next year. Fiala, potentially Brodin, potentially Foligno. You got to see what Kaprizov is now. He could be a restricted free agent next year. That changes a ton of things. So to me, there's no rush to get it done now. And when I talked to Billy last week, you know, I didn't get the impression that he feels like it's something that he's got to do immediately. I think he could wait to the offseason and get a little more information. There's no rush. I don't see any reason why you got to do it absolutely immediately.
From Jackson Purdy, can you explain escrow and how that affects, you know, how people will be paid this summer?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the elementary explanation of escrow is in the NHL, when the final audit is done on league revenues, which could happen well after a season is done, the players get 50% of that being their payroll, what they get paid, and the owners get 50% of that pie. But because we don't know what the revenues are going to be for a year, the players put money that they make every year. So if you make $10 million and your escrow is 20%, you put $2 million into an escrow account that builds interest, all that stuff. And then eventually when the audit is done of what the final damages or revenues for the NHL is complete, then you know what that 50-50 pie is, and then a certain amount of money in that escrow account goes to the owners, but then you'll get a refund of what you potentially put in there, if that makes sense. So, but because the damage of the NHL is so drastic right now with this pandemic, most likely these players are going to owe more than 20% of their paychecks back. So what the new CBA does is it caps what the amount that these guys have to give to the owners at 20%, and now most likely, if you throw that 20% into this account, you're probably never getting a refund back. But with the damage and a 50-50 split, theoretically, you could owe 30-35% in escrow. So they're actually getting sort of a bit of a haircut here. But this is a significant amount of money. I mean, just again, imagine you make $10 million and you're putting 20% of that into an escrow account. And you're probably in a tax bracket that brings it to around you're losing half your money between Minnesota state taxes, federal taxes, Social Security, entertainment taxes. You know, these guys, when they go and play in certain markets, they owe taxes in that market. So if you're already losing 50%, you're putting 20% into an escrow account, and you're paying union dues and all that stuff, you could see fairly quickly that these players are not really, if you sign for $10 million, you're not getting taken home anywhere close to that, right? So that's why escrow is such a big deal to these players.
You should be taxed Marriott points when you go to another city.
Yeah, I know. Plus, these guys are having deferred money next year, too, where they're going to give back to they're deferring 10% of their salaries, and then they'll be paid that over time after the fact.
Right. Hey, we want to thank Tony Hoagland, Hoagland. How much do we think of Tony? He handles my insurance, and he handles Michael's insurance. We give him our money because we trust him. You should, too. Hoagland.
It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen just in time for football season. And the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
And Kyler Vosfra, longtime listener, with the weird offseason upcoming, has it been figured out if and when there will be a developmental camp or any prospect tournaments?
Those have been canceled, and the draft is October 6th, and then they'll have free agency right after. And my guess is that it'd be hard to do a development camp if college hockey and juniors are going on at that time, who comes in. So my guess is that we don't see a development camp for a while.
From Tweet 96, did you do anything special for the Suter and Zach Parise anniversary? Maybe a bottle of wine outside MSP Airport? Thanks again for all the work and love the show.
Yeah, no, I did nothing, man. I had the worst probably fourth ever. I just pretty much stayed home and worked on a bunch of stories that I've been trying to do. So I didn't do anything to celebrate that day.
You know, the good thing about the, well, there's no good thing about the pandemic. The convenient thing about the pandemic has been that I am now completely allowed to be the boring human being that I am. I can sit home and do absolutely nothing and not change my routine.
Yeah. Well, I will say that's another reason why I'm sort of bummed by not going to Edmonton. It'd be just nice to get out of the house.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. From Minnesota Wild, affiliates and prospects, thoughts on the officiating assignments, Kazari, Meyer, Jonette, yeah, and Luxmore going to Edmonton while the East gets West.
Well, you know what's shocking about that is that I was told that the league, even for referees and linesmen that were going to retire next year, we're not going to have them take part in the summer. So that would be guys like Jonette, Brad Meyer, Pierre Rossigo, Tim Peel. But from what I saw, a lot of those guys are part of this. So I thought that Brad Meyer and Jonette had no chance to officiate, but now they're suddenly in this. So in terms of all this stuff, I just find that fascinating of what it's going to be like, because, you know, I'm doing a story, I will be quite candid, on the referees next week, where I'm talking to the league about this. And one of the things I'm fascinated is, how does no fans affect them? You know, I mean, it's crazy. First of all, they're going to hear everything. So it's like, you know, I did a story with Bruce Boudreau last week where he talked about how, as a coach, sometimes when you get mad at a ref, you almost count on the crowd to drown you out so the refs can't hear explicitly what you're saying. Now they're going to hear absolutely everything. But also, a lot of times, you know, just think of subconsciously, if you have, I mean, heck, when we're in San Jose and they pump in the crowd noise and every call is like, you know, every missed call is amplified and things like that, I'm convinced that's why Ryan Hartman was given a 5-minute major earlier this year on Evander Kane. The crowd in San Jose has long almost been known to call penalties for the refs. And, you know, and so now you don't have that, right? And so it's just going to be fascinating, from a subconscious standpoint, having no fans in the stands, how that affects the officials. We think of the coaches and the players and how, what it will do with their intensity. What will it do with these referees who are going to be in the bubbles with these players, but I think are not going to be allowed to hang out in, like, so like in the bubble, players are allowed to go to the hotel bar, the hotel restaurants. Well, I think referees are going to be asked to avoid that. But yet they also can't just go down the hallway and hang out with one of their colleagues too. They're not supposed to be hanging out in each other's rooms. So, you know, one of the questions I'm going to ask Steve Walken this week is, have you guys thought of that to make sure that these guys don't go nuts, the Wes McCauleys of the world, and that they'll be able to, you know, whether it's in a ballroom, play poker, hang out with each other, something to allow them to not go absolutely bonkers for 2 months.
Yeah, and that leads into our next question from the Dog Father. Do players have roommates in quarantine? Are they allowed to hang out with their teammates away from the arena, or is it just go to your hotel room alone?
No, they can hang out. They're trying to create this sort of resort in the bubble that will allow these guys to hang out with each other, but not in their hotel rooms. So you're not allowed to have no guests in your hotel rooms. The only guests that are allowed in a hotel room for the time that you're there are housekeeping every 3 days, engineer staff if you have a problem, and you can't be in there when they're in there. And then if you are one of the teams that's lucky enough to the conference finals, families can come, but then they'll have to first have a quarantine, but then they can stay in your hotel room. So that's it. So Dean Evason was saying yesterday on the conference call that they're going to, if the Wild are lucky enough to not be eliminated in the qualifying round, they are going to do stuff like, you know, have team building things. The league is going to have outings for these guys to go to golf courses. But they're going to essentially wall off this bubble and have multiple movie theaters and things like that. They are allowed to go to hotel bars and hang out and technically be around other teams as well. Each team will have sort of a conference room that's sort of their hospitality room. Each team is on one floor of the hotel, and they're supposed to have two rooms set aside, if possible, inventory allows, one for treatment where, you know, John Worley or Travis Green or these guys that work for the Wild, Travis Green, the Wild massage therapist, not the Vancouver Canucks coach, coincidentally, will be allowed to do treatment, but then another room that's sort of like a hospitality room that has snacks and waters and things like that.
From Tim McHugh, how's Tom Curver's health these days?
You know what? I haven't checked on him in a while. I don't think he's going to Edmonton, but last I talked to him, he was doing really well.
Good. From Zach Spicer, Garen brings in Judd Brackett, which is an interesting development. Mike Murray could be on the way. Might finally get Kaprizov stateside, and the Wild suddenly have some really exciting prospects in the pipeline. How different does this feel compared to this time last year under Fent?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. In about 18 days, it'll be the year anniversary that Fenton was fired. And so, you know, it does feel like Billy is starting to be able to put a little bit of a stamp on the front office here. You know, as I mentioned, he's bringing in Mike Murray as of October 1 in some sort of capacity in the front office. Just hired Judd Brackett yesterday. You know, I think he's going to, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Dean Evason is going to be the coach of the Wild in the future. So we'll see, you know, what the future entails. But we are starting to see an organization that's getting developed. And you know what? Paul Fenton deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, a lot of the reasons why things are optimistic here right now about the future is the fact that Fiala is here, that a lot of these prospects that the Wild were able to draft the last 2 years because Paul did not trade draft picks are developing into pretty good players. And so the scouts deserve credit for that, but Paul deserves credit for that as well.
Absolutely. And Johnny Kaner did ask, what does Evason have to do to become the head coach for next season and beyond?
You know, I every time I talk to Garen lately, I just get this impression that Evason is his guy. Like, Garen insists that throughout this pause, he has not investigated other coaches, interviewed other coaches, searched for other coaches. And I just get the impression that Evason is the guy. So I don't even know if the Wild would have to beat Vancouver to get that interim tags stripped off Dean. You know, I think that Garen loves Dean's fire, the accountability that he has with the players, the communication skills, you know, and I think that in a lot of ways that Garen's going to look at Dean and be, you know, hey, this is the guy that I want. Now, what's always good about a coaching search is that you get at least the opportunity to talk to other people about their opinions of the organization that you're running. But I think Garen at this point has a pretty firm grasp of what's the needs for this franchise. So if he feels Dean's that guy, you know, maybe he just takes the interim tag away, you know, no matter what the Wild do in this little playing around that they're going to be part of here. So and the other thing that I think that Dean brings to the Wild is and I'm trying to think the best way of saying this, because Bruce was somebody that was popular too, but the players seem to genuinely like Dean. Like, and I think that happens a lot when you're the assistant coach for a team for a couple of years.
Yep.
Like when I'm not just talking about Kevin Fiala, like when I watch his relationship with guys like Jordan Greenway and Luke Cunnan and the funny banter that goes back and forth, there's a respect level there. Right. And then obviously to me, if I was the GM of this team, I would say Kevin Fiala is the player that must be deployed confidently by the head coach. And so Dean Evason clearly has that going for him. As Billy has told me time and time again, it's an added bonus, the relationship that Fiala and Evason have from the tough love that they had in Milwaukee. So, you know, I am pretty confident that Dean Evason is going to be the coach in the future. I don't know if I'm going to have a coaching search ahead of me.
Two more questions. We do appreciate all the good Twitter questions as always. Once again, thank you to producer Brandon Morton. Thank you to Profile by Sanford. Michael's having great success with that. Bosch Law Firm, check them out if you ever need a workman's comp or injury attorney. And also Tony Hoagland, your State Farm agent, Champlin. From Kay, a hockey game. Are the Wild and the NHL planning any fan-related virtually or otherwise, anything fan-related virtually or otherwise, to promote and engage with the playoffs?
That's what I've been told. I don't know. I haven't seen anything definitive, but you know, I think a lot of it could be even gambling. Like, you know, a lot of times, and I'm not a gambler, so I could be talking and people are going to be listening to this like he has got no idea what he's talking about, but I know that I watch people that gamble, and you could be watching a baseball game or a football game and do kind of live betting during the game, and that really I don't think is a big deal in hockey. I don't think it's something that people do pretty prevalently, but that's something that I could see that people do stuff on their phone where they're kind of playing along with the game. And again, that was something that they were talking about at the beginning of this pause. I don't know, you know, the logistics of putting this return to play on is so overwhelming that I don't know if that took the back burner. But I do think that the games itself that we watch on television will look a lot different, just because, I mean, just think naturally, there's no fans in the crowd. So now you could put cameras in places that we've never had them before. And so,
right.
You know, I do think that the games are going to look pretty exciting.
Let's see. I want to get at least one more question in here. Let's do one from our friend Poops. Bruce Boudreau had said on multiple occasions that Matt Dumba seems to be one player who can dictate where the Wild go. So do you feel that, basically, do you feel the same way? Do you feel like Dumba is kind of a big swing player for the franchise?
Well, yeah. I mean, offensively, he makes his team motor a lot of times coming out from the back end. And so, obviously, he had a really tough year coming back from the torn pectoral muscle. And I do think that this break is going to help a lot of guys. I mean, it could help, you know, Matt Zuccarello. It could help Matt Dumba. It could help Eric Staal. It can help Devin Dubnyk. Let's see, who else had a – it could help Mikko Koivu. You know, I do think that these guys are going to be fresh and coming in, and now it's going to be almost like a separate season for Matt Dumba, where he maybe begins the return of his comeback. And so, yeah, I do agree that Matt Dumba is a very, very important piece for this franchise. When you're playing 24 minutes a night, 25, that's only going to go up in a qualifying round that could see multiple overtimes and things like that. It's important that Matt's playing well, and obviously he had a tough year.
Well, I'm sad for you that you might not be going to Edmonton. Maybe it'll work out for us. We'll get to start doing some live shows again here. So, and I want you to stay healthy. That's number one. So I'm kind of glad to hear you might not go, or at least might not go at first. Thanks for the great stuff. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to Brandon. Thanks to everyone who has listened to TalkNorth.com. We're going to keep it rolling. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app, and we'll talk to you next week.
Music in the bars and fire in the sky. We went to the beach and it was covered in ice. And I used to call it home. So much coming out, there's nothing going in. I know that you feel like you're never going to win. Oh, but the world won't forgive a winner.
And it'd be just nice to get out of the house.